Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to another classic episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting. I've already dubbed
house
it a
meeting.
Classic.
Wow.
It's a classic.
Like when Morrissey got his book published and insisted it was published as a Penguin classic. I'm insisting this episode, early doors, we're seconds into it. This is a classic episode.
Great. We'll enjoy this classic. Have we got anything we need to tell the listeners about?
Apart from the fact it's a classic.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
I mean, it almost goes without saying, to be honest. In fact, if you want to leave a review on iTunes, then classic 5 stars should do it. Although it would be quite funny to leave a review that says a classic 3 stars. I'd be quite up for that.
It wouldn't be that funny, actually, when it comes to the algorithms of iTunes. It would be infuriating in a way that I can't get into now. But yeah. five or not at all, basically.
Great.
Anyway, let's not get bogged down in all of that.
I'll stop leaving my funny reviews.
Yeah. Stop setting up separate iTunes accounts. Just leave 3-star reviews. It's not that great.
Oh yeah, I've been reading those. Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who got in touch, by the way, about the Katie Wicks episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. If you enjoyed that, there is a further bonus beef with Katie on our Patreon, which you can get to by going to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. And obviously all the episodes of Love, Sex, Shagdown, Flatshare Lockdown, all our bonus beefs, all the jingles that you hear in the Flatshare Slamdowns. There's loads of great stuff there. There's over 100 episodes that you get straight away as soon as you join, and it's only £4 a month.
Yeah, and there's also a great community of listeners that all chime in and contact each other. And
it's lovely. It's a really nice team. We love being a part of it.
We recorded a live show just the other night that is still available online. If you fancy a night out in your own home, then that's available to still catch up. And that is our Beef Brothers Cold Cuts Sausage Links live extravaganza, which is already been deemed a classic.
It's already a classic. I can tell you now, we haven't recorded it yet. It's not happened. We've recorded this before we've done that, but we haven't done it, but we know it's a classic.
It's a timeless classic.
It features a ton of our favourite comics solving some of your beefs and some of their own beefs. And it's a classic, guys. It's a classic. Get your tickets from eventbrite.co.uk. Search for Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cut Sausage Links. Or just follow the link in the show notes. That might be the easiest way to do it. Follow the link in the show notes. That's the way to do it.
Enjoy the episode whilst you're listening to it. I'm going to be listening to my favourite commercial music station that plays classical music. It's Classic FM, everyone.
It was a long way to go, and we hated it when we got there. What a holiday that was. Anyway, don't worry.
Parry, head in hands.
I can tell you now, Parry is on much better form in the body of the episode. I can tell you that now. But unfortunately, we've unfortunately just had our classic status revoked. So it's no longer a classic, but it's a very fine episode. Enjoy this episode of House Meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
When was the last time you became aware that you were boring someone?
Oh.
And what did you do about it?
I mean, it's a tough one on this recording because
we're all now really nervous to say anything in case it starts happening. That's the worry.
It's one of the worst feelings, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of the worst feelings to realise I'm not interesting enough in this situation.
I tell you what's worse though is someone who doesn't realise. I don't know. Maybe is it nicer ignorance, to be innocent of the knowledge?
Yeah, ignorance is bliss, man. I'd love to not know if I was being boring.
Oh, you don't know a lot of the time, mate. Definitely. I had to get in there first.
It's not quite the same thing, but it's a bit like when you are talking to somebody. I mean, it is the same thing because it comes in the same place. When you're talking to somebody and they take out their phone and start like sending an email or whatever, reading their texts, and you're still and you're like, do I bat like? Weirdly, bailing on what you're saying, just stopping talking, feels passive aggressive.
Yeah, totally.
It happened to me today. I was having lunch with a friend, and I got up to go to the. The timing was wrong, and my timing was off. I got up to go to the loo, but I was still talking about what we've been talking about. Yeah, I was still talking. I hadn't left the table. I just stood up.
Right.
I just stood up, and basically, he took my standing
for
up
emphasis.
As a cue. Which I was making. I wanted to address the rest of the pub. Is basically what it was. I thought this is. I'm being so not boring. I think everybody, you know, the anecdotes are on me. I shouted that. The anecdotes are on me for the next half hour. And a group gathered round. But no, I stood
were
up.
You were you expecting to West Wing it? Just like. They just come up, they just walk you to the toilet.
Walk and talk and then shake me off at the end. I don't know what I was expecting, but I hadn't. But I'd stood up and then he quite rightly took that as his cue to start occupying himself. So he got his phone out, started sending an email. And he even like said, oh, I better respond to, like he sort of, well, I better respond to this email. You know, it's sort of, but I hadn't quite finished the thing I was saying. So I just sort of carried on speaking and then walked off. And it was quite hard going, you know, because then you're going like, well, do we start a brand new topic when I get back from the loo? Do I try and repeat the material? Because it didn't do well in previews.
Had you got to the end? Did he acknowledge you got to the end?
I got to an end. I know, you know, I've had enough tough gigs to know when you bail, you know. I nipped it in the bud, basically. I thought that this is an ending. It's a structurally sound ending to what I was talking about, but it isn't the ending. It was supposed to be sort of, I was hopefully quite funny. And, you know, I had to just kind of go, well, I'm now just going to end on what I thought was going to be a joke, but is now just a sentence. And some silence, and I'll walk away.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
You know, sometimes on stage, like you can just like, if you'd have taken a bow or something, maybe.
I think that would have made it worse. Clark, yeah, that's a great
never
piece of advice.
I do it all the time.
Never, don't bow in a pub. Right?
Probably means something in ancient lore, doesn't it? Probably means you have to go outside and have a duel or something.
Yeah, well, I just think if I'd ended with anything, like, I think what you really want to do is you just want to sort of, you want to run aground in as graceful a way as possible. You don't want to end with a flourish, you know? And I think a bow suggests, I'm hoping for applause or something.
How about you just say, ta-da!
Yeah, I mean, that sort of was where I was with that.
The bowing and applause system feels like it's. It feels like it never quite. It's not a great system. It feels like.
Okay.
It feels like we
what
could
were
have.
Say, what were you going to say there? Were you going to say it never quite took off?
No. So like, it feels like the system never quite found its feet properly, and now it's just accepted and in play everywhere. But it feels like, had there been like a version 2 or 3 of it, then there might have been something better. Because what? Like applause isn't that great to give.
Well, this is our new task then for the day. We've got to come up with the alternative for what would you prefer than applause? Because the sound of applause is a satisfying sound to hear,
but it's not a satisfying sound to make.
No, it can you know what, for if you go and see something that's fantastic, you know, everybody loves it, people are standing on their feet, the applause goes on and on and on, there is a point where you're like, now my feeling isn't elation at seeing a wonderful work of art, it's having quite sore hands.
Yeah,
it's pain. I'm now leaving the theater in mild pain.
And also, like, there's all kinds of like ups and downs, like when they're doing like the individual curtain calls, and like people start to hold some back for the main performers.
I always feel really I don't modulate my applause for the person who's getting paid the most money.
You just go hard from the get-go.
Yeah, of course I do. Sure, of course. We, you know, obviously, the person who's coming out last, the person who's done a bit of telly, they're the one who's putting the bums on seats. They're getting the adulation. They're on the poster. The person who's got one line who has to be there the entire night. They've got one line in Act One.
If it hasn't gone well, and you know you're not coming out and for another 2 minutes... you're going to be thinking, oh, fuck me. Like, there's not going to be that much applause left to go around. Because that was, we've just done like a really shit preview. You know, the chorus are getting mediocre. Like, not, you know, there's not, there's, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about all on, one bow only. But like, oh, that's what I'm saying is like, it isn't fixed and it isn't a good system.
I thought it was going to be the bowel problem, the bowel thing you were going to have a problem with.
I have got bowel problems. So is Crosby. He has to keep bailing halfway through an anecdote. Absolutely reeks of IBS. Who's there? Just go 2 minutes.
Better make it 15.
I'll check my emails. It's fine. I'll check my emails, mate.
The secret of good comedy is timing. And this, honestly, you're really gonna have to wait for this punchline if it comes at all.
Clarky. The bow problem.
Yeah. What would be the bow problem? That,
is it more like I was thinking like. Is it a bit like, you know how awkward it is when you're being sung happy birthday and you don't have much to do?
Yeah.
You kind of just have to smile and nod, and that feels like the bow thing. Receiving, as I often do, a long round of applause.
Both ways, it's awkward. It's awkward to be taking applause. It's not great to give applause. So I'm saying it's a fundamentally flawed system.
Yeah.
And there should be something better, yeah.
In fact, it's such an awkward thing, Clarky, that you say, that I once worked in an office where that was their thing in the office.
What, bowed at the end of every day?
No, the long applause. Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be bad, actually. If you actually stood up at the end of the day and bowed. And
cheers
left.
Everyone by and bow.
Yeah, well, we'll bow at the end of this podcast, obviously. We're really, you know, the listeners will get nothing out of it, but we'll do it for, you know.
Well, I want the listeners applauding wherever they are.
Exactly. Well, at the end of the podcast, wherever you are, if you make it to the end and you haven't popped off to the loo, then applaud and imagine us bowing. It's going to happen. But they would. what they would do is they would. If it was your birthday, they would bring out your. Everyone from the entire floor would bring out your Colin the Caterpillar cake. It was always a Colin the Caterpillar cake, and then they would applaud for just forever. Basically, it was like they were always trying to beat their PB on the amount of time. And the idea wasn't to sort of make people feel good. It was quite the opposite.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. And actually, it was a writing gig, but I happened to be writing there, you know, like I was probably only working there for 2 weeks, but I happened to be writing there on my birthday. And so it was weirder for me because I obviously knew the people in my writing room. The other three people, but I didn't know anyone else on the floor, but everyone came on the floor and they didn't know me either. so they're giving me a Colin the Caterpillar cake and they're applauding for it. I mean, it felt like 5 solid minutes, you know, it was a really, really, really long time because that was what they did every time someone had a birthday.
Good Lord, that's
it was
tough.
Awful. It was really tough.
They do that in Europe as well, the curtain calls particularly in Eastern Europe, there you're talking 5-10 minutes of just absolutely non-stop applause.
And they bring out a Colin the Caterpillar cake as well, don't they?
They're applauding the cake. They're big fans. Big fans of both cakes and caterpillars.
It's got to be two bowels max. House lights up.
Yeah, I think
surely,
that's,
right?
I think that's fair, isn't it? I think.
I mean, I think the system we can do better, and by the end of this podcast, we will.
We will. It's a bit like, you know, the encore makes sense. The applauding, yes, to bring, you know, if you see a band, you applaud almost to, it's a loud ovation to bring them back onto the stage so they can play more songs. And then basically the applause at the end of a gig isn't massive. They wander off and that's it. The lights come up and, you know, you make your way home. I think that's fine because it feels like it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of like, haven't you had enough attention? We're still here. We're still sat here watching it. What do you want at the end of it, you know?
Yeah. Should they do that in plays then? Just like leave the final scene?
Yes. That is exactly what they should do in plays. And it's up to the audience. It's a bit like a sort of choose your own adventure, except there's only one ending and you just decide whether or not you can be fucked to see it.
Do you see the ending or not? The hearing impaired round of applause is great,
yeah.
Right? It's kind of like the jazz hands, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a nice little wave. By its very nature, it's a bit shorter.
Yeah.
And then you're off. I mean, like, I'd take that any day of the week.
Yeah, that
come
is,
out,
that is
have
a
little
one.
Wave. You can kind of wave back.
And it's not corruptible in the way that applause can be. It's it's only friendly. If you're waving to people, it's an immediately open and friendly gesture. You can't have the sarcastic slow clap.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You know, you might move your hands a bit slowly, but you can't have, you know, you're not, you can't jazz hand someone off stage.
No.
So it's inherently, it's a nicer interaction between the audience and performer. I do like it.
Because by its very nature, a clap is quite a violent gesture.
It's a slap.
Let's call it what it is. It's a slap.
It's slapping your own body to indicate pleasure. And I'm not kink shaming here, but that's not my thing. Certainly not in a room of 500 people. If I'm going to slap my own body for pleasure, it's going to be on my own.
But then what are our alternatives here? Like noises with your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Is that the noise you make when you're slapping your body for pleasure?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot we were still recording. I'd already taken my shirt off. To be honest, I don't think that's the noise I intended to make. But once I'd done one of them, I thought,
you just don't know what's coming out
almost,
sometimes, do you?
It was a bit like standing up and finishing. I couldn't, if I'd just gone, you would have been like, are you right, Crosby? I thought, I'll just do a handful of Tim Allen noises.
I mean, that would be good, having like just a Seinfeld sting play or something.
But as in everyone's got little
I don't know, but I was thinking like it'd be quite nice if there's just like a song that everyone sings to together at the end of every show that just kind of like is like,
well, like the national,
we enjoyed that very much, thank
like,
you
like at the end,
because sing-alongs are never awkward. Are you mad? Have you never been in a religious ceremony where everyone has to start singing hymns? The last 15 years of weddings, everyone's just, oh, you don't mind it, but everyone else does. Everyone's given up on singing hymns. You're in a wedding ceremony, how many people go for the hymns? They're
it's the
awful.
Wrong hymns, that's why. If they came out with Autumn Days,
what's Autumn Days?
Yeah, we talked about that before, haven't we? But it's like a childhood, oh my.
Okay. I don't know if Autumn Days
is
a big enough banger. Clarkie. Yeah.
Here's the problem, Clarkie. Everyone, there's pockets. Everyone has pockets of hymns that they like. And even if you're going for the universal ones, like Jerusalem or someone, unless people are pissing at the cricket, it isn't getting belted out.
Yeah. Mm.
Sing-alongs are fundamentally problematic.
And the other thing about
people do inward singing, they kind of sing like on inhales, sorry.
I was going to say, the other thing about the group sing-along, and in fact, this is another thing that's problematic about clapping, is that people have no sense of time and people don't know which beat to clap on. So if you've got like, you know, like if you ever go to like the Panto or something and there's a kind of everyone clapping, people are clapping all over the place. Like when we go and see the Hold Steady, right?
Yeah.
They actively encourage the audience to clap. Quite high speed clapping for a lot of the songs. And I think the drummer has the fucking hardest job in show business.
Yeah.
Because when Craig Finn steps forward and goes like he's good. He can keep it in time. He's the singer. Fine. The rest
they
of the audience.
They sing the theme song to Friends, by the way.
Yeah, that's what they open and close with. It's better than applause. Everyone loves it. Everyone knows the words.
I sing along to that.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets the fast clapping going, and then the rest of the audience are just kind of going. And the drummer has to be going to come back in with the song, you know. And again, we could abolish clapping, and I'd be very happy. I didn't realise I felt so passionate about it until you brought it up.
Yeah.
I thought all of these things, the sarcastic slap, the slow clap off stage, the out of time clap, the offbeat clap, all of that gone.
It's a problematic communication device.
Yeah.
How about this? How about like a one cheer that starts really low, like a hooray, and that's it. Everyone gets to go home.
I don't know. It suggests something's happening as it's, you know, like it feels like you're watching a ball about to go in the hole at golf. I don't know, something like that, you know, or Hawkeye or something.
But you're waiting for the cast to come back on, and then they do like we're going to abolish the bow as well. So they do like a jump,
and they freeze,
and everyone goes,
and they freeze there like at the end of an 80s movie, and then it flashes up, you know, these two got married and that kind of stuff, and yeah. Great.
These two are having an affair.
That's not a bad idea. All of the backstage gossip. They leap up into the That's a great idea.
Yeah.
They leap up into the air. They freeze in the air.
Yeah.
Right. Using some. Well, let's not spoil the magic of how they do it.
The West End will take care of that.
David Copperfield illusion. Exactly. If you guys seriously don't spoil the secret. If you've seen
Don't spoil the secret.
Yeah. Of how they make that magic carpet fly. I told you about the time I went to see Aladdin and the magic carpet didn't work.
No.
I had to sing it from the ground.
Oh, no.
It wasn't a whole new world, it really is.
Same old world.
Just a carpet, really, isn't it?
just been to Allied.
Carpet world. Could you tell on their faces? Did they betray that it wasn't working, or did they pull it off?
The first thing is they billow the stage with dry ice, but obviously they're supposed to rise above the dry ice, so I couldn't see much of their faces.
I can show you fuck all.
I love it so much. That's the bit. Like,
that's great.
That's the bit you're waiting for, really. You know, obviously the genie's very funny and all that, but that's the bit you want. It's the one bit. You know, that's the bit of theatre magic you're hoping for. And when the carpet won't start, when it's a frosty morning and your carpet won't start.
A freezing fog. It's just like, oh my god, that's so good. Oh,
Jafar runs on from side of stage and tries to give him a push.
Oi, genie, I need to use one of those wishes. Can I join the AA?
at least you've got a jack. You can, you know, bring me above the dry ice for the duration of the song. But yeah, so that's what happens, is they leap into the air, they freeze, and some salacious backstage gossip about who's hoofing who.
It's like,
that's that
she hates him. She can't stand that guy.
And they're frozen in mid-cheer.
Those two are having it off.
Those two are having it off.
This guy dies in 2 weeks.
What?
What? He breaks his legs when he lands. This guy's about to land really badly.
Both of his legs shoot straight up his nostrils into his brain.
Everyone else gets A's.
Everyone gets a Tony Award.
Cold rain or hot snow? What is sleeting?
House meeting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think Clarkie's suggestion is a strong contender at the moment, because what it puts me in mind of is the only clapping that I think is doing well at the moment, which is the Icelandic.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
That kind of like, this, you know, we're kind of back on Crosby a little bit.
I made earlier on. I just made it. That's.
He
I was
skips
just
right to the end.
I was just 45 seconds into.
You've got to do the foreplay, Crosby.
I just go and then I'm off to the loo. By the time you realise what's happened, I'm already in the cubicle, mate.
DL.
Yeah, I think that's true actually. But they do clap, don't they? Sort of put their hands out in a sort of Christ the Redeemer pose and clap them above their heads. Is that right? Is that the is that the style they do? Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Although Christ famously didn't clap above his head.
No. Even when there were loads of midges flying around, that was one of the most frustrating. But that's the most frustrating station of the cross. Even after he's fallen for the second time, the midges flying around. He's going, you know, just constantly trying to spit them out. They're all going up his nostrils. Oh, it's tough.
Like a teddy on the front of a car.
Absolutely, the dolly on the dust car. Yeah.
So
that's
actually,
what people don't realise is the crucifix was travelling at a hell of a speed.
What's been lost in his teeth and all
what's
sorts.
Been lost in translation is it was the two thieves who were buried who were crucified on either side of him. They were a convoy. It was three 18-wheelers speeding through Galilee.
I tell you what though, when I went to see it, they didn't start.
Oh no! Yeah. When you went to see Jesus Christ Superstar,
yeah, that's it. Just. Could barely see a thing.
Someone had to call the RAC on them.
So the Icelandic clap.
Yeah.
I think has like a similar, because Clark is right. So it starts low. Ooh, and everyone's like, here we go, here we go, here we go. And then the cast come on stage. Yeah. And it just builds up to, and everyone jumps, I guess. I mean, there's timing issues going on.
Let's go to the point that you made, Parry, about a dodgy performance. What do you do there? Do you cut it off mid?
You just keep going down.
You go.
Yes.
Oh no! So it's almost like the actors are coming out to get the verdict.
Yeah.
So they're it's like
jogging on optimistically, and then they just have to slate so back
it's
on.
No,
like
that's when, too like, much.
It's
that's
like when you know, Caesar does the thumb to one side, it's either up or down to decide whether they're going to live or die.
Oh, that's not bad either.
That's what the audience is doing. But then I've been to shows where there's been a standing O and I've not stood up. Pointedly, I've not stood up because I didn't think it was worth a standing O.
Yeah, I've done that quite a few times.
So,
I don't think we're after a review system at the end.
No, you don't want a consensus then, do you? So do you, people just do it? I mean, I guess I've also been to things that I thought were dog shit and clapped along with the audience at the end.
I mean, that could be one rule. I mean, albeit it's silent, but like you could say, if you really enjoyed it, the cast are going to come on stage. If you really enjoyed it, you stand up. If you didn't, you stay seated.
But and then complete silence.
Yeah.
How about everyone has a card with a red thumb. Pepper and a green pepper on it?
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Ready, steady, clap. They've already nailed it. They've got the system exactly right.
Would that be a good tattoo to get a red pepper and a green pepper on both of your palms?
I think you know the answer to that, Clarkie.
I'm not getting any high fives for it.
For your birthday.
It's not far off, Clarkie, not far off for your birthday.
Off, to be fair.
Parry and I have got a very special round of applause for you. The next episode of House Meeting will just be a Clarkie's birthday special, and it will just be us applauding for 45 minutes. Then the Patreon neighborhood watch roll call, and then out. We're done.
Our best episode yet.
Yeah.
House Meeting. I live in a house made of iron sheeting. House Meeting.
Have we got any other options? Because at the moment, Clarkie's suggestion is winning.
Who knew?
Have you got, like, stamping of feet, not bad.
I like stamping of feet, yeah.
It's just difficult because sometimes you're in a really good room for it and sometimes you're in, like, a carpeted room with like a heavy floor and you're getting nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That would be our excuse, wouldn't it? Well, it was a carpeted room.
Unless you
the preview went well. Yeah, there was a heavy shag on the ground. It wasn't.
They there really was a heavy enjoyed, shag on the ground. That's why Crosby started going. Oh, yeah.
They enjoyed it. They really enjoyed it. There was a lot of rubber soles in that. There was a lot of rubber soles in that audience.
I was stamping my feet at the end of Aladdin, but you couldn't hear it again. The carpet still right,
still where it
right
was.
On the stage level. Yeah, yeah.
In the fog.
Lights
could be a good idea.
Well, everyone shines a light on their torch like a slow song at a festival.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of that.
Yeah,
I don't mind a bit of that. What about like blowing raspberries?
I was thinking
some shit?
Armpit farts or something like that. You know,
because it's hard to make it. Well, it's kind of short by its nature, isn't it?
Yeah, you've only got a breath's worth, but maybe that's worth it.
It's short, but it's also a little bit like if you were blowing raspberries during a performance, you wouldn't be in. It's not suggesting you enjoyed it. Maybe the listeners would be able to help us out with this, but I'm sure I read years ago that in some country, rather than clapping with their full palms, they bang together the nails of their thumbs.
What?
Now I've been. It's what? Been like, that's ever since we started talking about clapping. That sort of, you know, that memory has been sort of tapping away at the back of my brain like that.
A memory.
Hang on.
But yeah. So that, and so presumably
you say that I can't hear anything.
No, I know. No, I can hear it, but I don't know if it's picking up on the microphone. I can hear it. Yeah. Yeah, that's Clarkie doing it. We can just about hear it on Clarkie's. Yeah, there we go. Next to a microphone, it actually we're probably getting a better version than you are live, but
that's mental.
Yeah,
they've made the clap harder.
Yeah, harder. I would say probably in the long term, more painful, and also because yeah, much quieter.
They're quite a what's the word, like not a sensitive spot, but like vulnerable spot on your body, aren't they?
Did
you ever do that thing when you were at school where you got someone to bite? You'd say, get your little fingers in your gob and then bite on your fingernails gently, bite a bit harder, and then you'd kind of put them around each other and rip it.
You'd link your pinkies and it would kill.
You'd link your pinkies and pull.
It felt like electric shock.
And it would feel like your fingernails had just been ripped off your fingers.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
That was a rare pain for me, worse than the Chinese burn.
Yeah,
it's worse because it's self-inflicted.
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess.
Been talked into it. Was up there with like smell the cheese, but that was just a punch, wasn't it? Like, That was just a punch.
If you rub your hands together, they smell like peanut butter. Is it that? That's the other one as well.
But the thing with the fingernails was...
No, well, it's, so you go, rub your hands together and they smell like peanut butter.
And then you
rub their hands together and they put their hands cupped over their face and you punch their hands. Absolutely.
Oh, mate, I fucking love that. Yeah. I'm good with that one completely past me.
Is that not an MMA move? You're a big UFC fan. I'm sure. Surely they must use that. That can't be a barred hold.
It was an unwritten rule of the playground that if someone had their hand near their face, it was okay to really punch them. It was like, well, that's the trick. It's like, how come just me having my hand by my face, I mean, it's okay to batter me?
You can't tell the teacher on that, mate. You had your hand by their face.
I think that the setup...
In my defence, he was smelling the cheese. So. I had to punch him.
What else am I going to do with the baseball bat?
But that fingernails.
The fingernails was bad because it was basically, I'm gonna play a trick on you to torture you. But there's something about the fact that I think that's it. There's something about the fact that it felt less like if you went up to somebody and lamped him in the nose, that would feel bad. I mean, obviously, of course, it would feel, you know, people watching that would go, oh, that's unfair. But because there was
I'm not banging my fingernails together for that.
I'm no bleeding heart liberal, but that's not true.
I don't know about that, actually, mate.
but then if you were to say, oh, yeah, like he was smelling the cheese, or I did the rub your hands together and they smell like, well, you know, you smell like peanut butter, then it felt like, well, it's a little bit of a sort of, it's a bit of game. Light-hearted tomfoolery, even though
there
it
was,
ended when
there
you
was a bit of repartee.
There was a bit of theatre to it.
Exactly. It was slapstick comedy in the grand tradition of the Three Stooges, as opposed to just going up and lamping someone like some sort of oaf, like Jason Statham. But I don't know why that felt all right. There were milder versions as well, like the cracking.
That was quite harsh on Statham. Statham only ever normally punches people for a reason in his films, I'd say.
Oh, does he have a bit more of a moral code? Am I doing him down here?
Like transporting punches to people or something.
That's the transporter. I genuinely transport my fist right into your bonnets.
I genuinely sensed a beat in the conversation where both Ben and I were like, Statham's not.
I thought Matthew was saying he was going to punch Statham, and I was like, this, I'd love to see.
I would never punch Statham. We've talked about it in the past. I've had the opportunity to punch Statham when I saw him at a train station.
Was he driving it? Was he transporting?
We've covered this ground already. This is all old material.
I bet you'd be able to persuade him to either A, smell the cheese, or do the peanut butter. I bet he would fall for that.
Jason, I loved Crank. I loved Crank 2. Did you know that if you rub your hands together, they smell like peanut butter? That is on.
That's on, mate.
That's good-natured banter.
Statham, I was chatting to Dexter Fletcher the other day, and he said that you're a big fan of cheese.
I love a bit of brie, a little bit of gruyere.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because I've got some. It's quite a rare bit of cheese. But
the rarer the better for me. You know, yeah. Give me a baby bell here. I want something rare. You know,
have a little smell of that. Lean right in and get your gnashes into it.
I'll just close my eyes just to really, you know, get rid of one sense, heighten another. That's what they say, isn't it? That's good. Alright, I will. Here we go. I'm running. What next? That cheese.
Transported himself.
He's cranked off his nog.
If you shout any action at Statham, he will start doing it. So you can't. That's the problem. That's the problem.
That
is his gift, it is his curse.
You know,
it's why he's such a good actor as well, though. He takes direction very well.
Yeah. Oh, he's one of the absolute best for that reason.
You say to him, look, the Meg's over there, quick, do something. He will.
He looks. You say, look, the Meg's over there. The first thing he does is look. He doesn't see the Meg, but, you know, he knows it's all make-believe. What is the Meg? Is the Meg a shark?
Yeah, it's a megalodon.
Imagine if that was the end of the episode. Imagine if we ended it there.
That's how the film ends as well. It's the last line of the film.
A guy shows someone up and
says, someone says Jason, by the way, what is the Meg? It's a megalodon. And by the way, Jason, do you know if your hand's bigger than your face then you're going to get cancer?
It's not a bad idea for an action hero, isn't it? Where he employs all the old, you know, he's going around giving people purple nurples and stuff.
He's the playground chickster.
No one expected a titty twister off of Statham. You know,
if you're waterboarding, yeah, wet willies.
It's like playground Bond. Wet Willy could be his name. The name's Willy. Wet Willy. Smell the cheese. Wet Willy like will return.
If you say his name five times into a mirror or something.
Wet Willy will return in Atomic Wedgie. I would watch that film.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
It's great.
But would it get a round of applause at the end? That's the question.
Oh, that's it. Well, I think we're coming to the end of what's been another highly successful episode of House Meeting. Do you want to all stand up and take a bow here? I think it's worth doing. You're not going to do it. Wait.
I'm more of a fan of a low bow.
Clarky always stood up. He just heard the word Parry slightly off mic go, I'm, and it was Parry, Clarky immediately sat back down.
Well, right, yeah. There's a touch of the Jason Statham about Clarky, isn't there? You mention it, he'll start doing it. He'll think about it afterwards, but he's already done it.
He was ready to go on that. Okay, yeah, go on. What are you saying? You're a fan of what?
The low bow, the bend of the knee.
Oh, almost. Not, you know, like almost,
not the up and drop.
Almost, so like one leg goes back, one knee gets bent. It's almost a sort of curtsy with a flourish
and a hand comes forward.
A hand comes forward. Possibly if you've got a wide brimmed hat, you'd whip that off as well. You'd whip it off with a flourish. Yeah, yeah.
Had I just been Serrano, you know?
That was Keith Richards' technique for, he would do that as a flourish as he was throwing his drugs away.
A doff of the cap.
He would take off his hat and he would do a big flourish with one hand, a real sleight of hand, you know, literally the sleight of hand distraction, doing something big with one hand and throwing away with the other. So if he saw, you know, if they're on tour in the States and he saw some police officers coming towards him, you know, thinking they were going to get an easy arrest, he would go,
he'd doff his cap.
Yeah, but and do the whole sort of, you know, Englishman, pleasure to meet you, fine gentleman. Whip off the hat, do a big bow, throw the drugs into Charlie Watts' pocket. He's got them. Yeah, the skinny bloke who looks like our dad, he's got them.
I'd take a doff over a bow any day of the week. Everyone finishes the play, off you go. Yeah. You come back on with a hat of your choice.
No, I like that. That is nice.
Everyone's good. And it's not necessarily a hat that's you've used in the production.
No.
It could just be a hat.
Better if it isn't.
Right.
Just your doffing hat.
You're coming out not as the character, but as the actor.
Oh, you never take your bowing character, please.
Yeah, no.
Now, listen, I've encouraged
that.
I encouraged that in a play that I directed, but I regret it now.
You encourage people to take a bow in character.
Yeah.
How did that manifest itself?
I was trying things out.
I'd like to know that, yeah.
It was Glengarry Glen Ross, so it was just like,
I knew it was gonna be
that. Retain your characters, yeah.
Retain your characters, but still bow. it's a hard note. It's a hard, even Statham would struggle with that one. Statham, the finest actor of our generation, would struggle with retain your
wait. So are you telling me the Meg's fucking real? No, Jason, no.
Out and about and keep an eye out for the Meg.
He bows and his face goes straight into the shark's mouth. It's the ultimate in character bow. He bows into the water like he's feeding the orcas at SeaWorld. And the shark chops his head off, back down into the water, and he crumples to the ground. Just
like Samuel L. Jackson in The Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, spoiler alert. Can I wait, I've just got to ask, by the way, what is, because I've not seen it, what is The Deep Blue Sea?
Clarkie, over to you.
Well, it's a shark film. Actually, quite similar, set on an underwater kind of complex.
I'm going to say most shark films are mainly set underwater.
No,
I think the land shark movie is never taken off.
Sharknado. I mean, come on. don't rule out Sharknado, please.
But it's normally kind of on the water rather than under.
You're right.
You are right.
Shark under the water.
When he's right.
Boat on the water. Beach next to the water. Those are your main locations.
And smoke on the water.
Smoke on the water.
Carpet
fire in
sunk.
The sky. Carpet on the stage. Dry ice on top of it.
Smoke on the carpet. Smoke on the carpet.
Fury in the crowd. Tickets are 45 fucking quid.
Did you applaud at the end?
Smoke on the carpet, shining, shimmering splendor. No.
He went back for it.
He went back for it, but not necessarily to improve it.
I'm throwing out a couple of options for the edit.
Clarky, take a bow, mate. Take a bow, Clarky.
He's earned a bow. He went back for it.
He went back for it.
Neither of them did any of the things we discussed while I did it.
That's mine and Crosby's preferred option instead of applause. Just to loudly critique what we've just seen. Well. Crosby, take a bow.
Oh, yeah. Enjoyed that.
I don't know why I did that. it's a flawed system.
Parry, if you would please, one final bow.
Parry, what was that? What was that bag that you just chucked? When I did that?
what
was in that, mate?
What?
Chuck it, my word, you mate.
It's the missing cogs from the flying carpet machine.
Oh no, I double dropped two cogs.
I double dropped two cogs, shining, shimmering splendor.
I see, it works. It does work.
Carpet doesn't.
Right, I think we're done.
We're done.
House meeting.
What would you say to Roman Keating?
House meeting.
Probably nothing at all.
Well, there you go. Whilst that was on, I had a lovely Magnum. from the fridge. It wasn't a white Magnum. It wasn't an album Magnum. It was an amalgam of two different magnums. It was a classic. It was a classic
it
Magnum.
It was melted because you got it from the fridge, mate. That's your problem.
You have got to give a Magnum a few minutes out of the freezer, though, just to get it, you know.
Yeah.
You need it soft.
You got to soften it up.
Soften your Magnum. Well, there you go. We hope you enjoyed that house meeting.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed that advice as well.
I hope it softened your Magnum, if you know what I mean.
And can I just say, I'm going to say it now to make a point about what fine, upstanding comedians we are. We did an entire episode about, effectively, the clap, and we didn't make the obvious joke. So
yeah, that was,
you know, we deserve a pat on the back, all three of us, for getting that far. I think that, if anything, should reinstall our classic status.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Although the fact that two of us are actually suffering from the clap.
Well, if two of us suffer, all three of us suffer. Let's face it.
Today's episode was produced, as ever, by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
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 Will you please be upstanding for today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call? Forgive me speaking, I've got a lisp. And that's why I can't talk about Simon Crisp.
Oh, forgive me speaking. It was me. It was actually my tummy. And that's why my name is Jacob Rumley.
Well, forgive me for... Sorry, I just froze. I am talking about Rose.
Please forgive me because I have something wrong with one of my calves. I was running out one day when I fell down a hill all of the way. Someone saw me and found it jolly, and that asshole was Martin Connolly.
Please forgive me, I was born in a cage. I was kept there by Thomas Page.
Yip the dip dip.
Forgive me, please. I have some fearsome. I am talking about FM. F McPherson.
Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Use me as an example. I've done something to Richard Temple.
Forgive me as you'd forgive The Hobbit, written by J.R. Tolkien. Forgive me as you would forgive this man whose name is Daniel Holcomb. I'm sorry, Daniel.
Forgive me, please, for what I've done. No one knows except for John.
I also... The knowledge of what he done has made me haggard. I told someone else it was Vicky McTaggart.
If you knew of my crimes, you would find me. My crimes were committed with my accomplice, Will Dynley.
Forgive me what I did to Big Ben. I was in the bell tower with Madeline.
And Big Ben's the bell and not the tower. Please forgive me,
it's
please,
Frankenstein
because
Frankenstein is the name of the scientist.
Forgive me explaining that to you. Forgive me the fact that I've got a leech stuck on my bollock. I've told Harvey H.
Oh, forgive me, for I am trapped inside the Matrix with Neo. Yes, I've been red-pilled, I've been fully awakened. My best friend is called Leo.
The pandemic's a hoax.
Plandemic.
Forgive me, I took the blue pill and then I found out I had a leech upon my
upon worst time
both
to find
my bollocks.
That's
it
two
was
red
a
pills.
Very big one. And the name of the leech was Alex Jane Lists One.
Well, forgive us if we have offended. Think but this and all is mended that you did but slumber here when we three leeches did appear. Don't despair or cry, Moloch, we are sucking on your bollock. That concludes today's Neighbourhood Watch Roll.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.